Welcome to episode 13 of BAM. I don't know what he's saying, singing. And welcome to the BAM comic podcast, episode 13. The girls are out. It's a lads night in.
Lad bounce.
Stu is here. Hello, Stu.
Hi. Hello.
And me, Neil, we are in. Carly is still in America. Let's do the token Carly. Hello.
It's like she's still here.
Yeah, but she can't join us for this one. Apologies for the delay. A massive E3-shaped hole scuppered most of our podcasting plans. But we're back!
We had the best intentions. I actually took the mic to America and had a plan of recording something in Baltimore when I was there and then recording something in LA. Brilliant plan.
Right.
Couldn't be bothered, if I'm honest. Logistics involved of me getting the microphone out of the suitcase and then working out what time zone was happening where you were, and I just thought,
we'll wait till the BAM Patreon kicks in,
yeah,
and we can afford to do these
justify it. But yeah,
Carly,
I did visit a couple of comic shops whilst we were like doing our work tour.
All right,
So we could probably talk about that.
Yeah,
talk about it now if you want, or should we? You'd say what we're going to talk about before I start waffling on.
Waffling is good. Mm. It might just be the jet lag, but it could be the waffle. On today's episode, Stu will be talking about comic shops, the what he visited.
Surprise!
Now that I, being the worst comic fan ever, have finally read DC Rebirth, we'll talk about that, as well as Wonder Woman.
Indeed.
We've both read the brand new Han Solo Star Wars comic.
Yes.
Yes, spoilers, we've got some opinions about that. And you have shunned traditional comic means. You've made a move to Comixology.
Not completely, but I have kind of started buying a lot on Comixology. As we're talking, I'm actually just checking. I've got the stuff that I didn't talk about.
Well. Behind the scenes magic.
Yeah. So yeah, talk about that.
All right, lads. I'll tell you what, you can tell Carly's not here because we've got her tea. No fucking cakes.
Sorry about that. I've been busy.
If Carly was here, there would be at least a French fancy.
Yeah.
Let's not get into it. Let's not get off on a bad foot on lads bands. Lads night in. All right, let's start with...
Whatever you want.
Let's start with your comic shop adventures in America.
Okay, so I started my US tour in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
We went to Gorilla King Comics.
Good name.
Carly recommend that one because she was from that neck of the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Really good, really nice indie vibe to it. Kind of had a bookstore feel.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah, and bizarrely, considering the demand that's on the Rebirth titles, they actually had DC Rebirth number one and Wonder Woman Zero, Rebirth Zero. A plenty. First prints.
It's funny you should say the indie bookshop vibe, because I've been given this a lot of thought. I think the one thing now that really puts me off a comic shop is how many fucking Funkos they've got in instead of comics.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing any Funkos. I wasn't actually looking for them, but I remember kind of walking in and it had, you know, wood flooring, wood shelving, and loads of comics and graphic novels. So they may well have had them stuff at the back, but it wasn't. You get a lot of comic stores where it's like, here is stuff to buy that isn't comics first.
And here's the comics, right?
Yeah.
Right in the bookshelf in the back.
Yeah.
Don't need that. I appreciate, like, you might be listening to this, you might run a comic shop, and that might be the way that you make a lot of your cash.
Well, it must be, because there can't be a lot to make off the back of a single comic.
No, and I'm sure, you know, it catches a passerby, like, oh, that'll make a great gift for whoever, but, like, it's getting really off-putting now.
Yeah, well, I told you my idea for a comic shop, haven't I?
Indeed you have.
It's going to be coffee and comics.
Mm-hmm.
Or comics and coffee.
You finally get use out of that espresso machine. And cake. That's where I come in.
That's going to be my money spinner.
No Funkos here.
Yeah, come in for the comics, stay for the coffee and cake.
No Funkos allowed on premises.
Well, I might
probably
have
will have. Yeah,
probably will have.
Difficult first year.
Yeah.
Anyway, Gorilla.
Yeah. Gorilla, yeah, really good. I mean, that's kind of... very brief summary, really. It's just a really nice, friendly vibe. Mm. But the one comic store I did was kind of blown away by when I went over was in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
It was Titan Comics. It took an Uber drive from my hotel about half an hour.
That's quite around.
Yeah, it's off the freeway next to like a shopping mall, I think.
There's a few of them over there.
Yeah, right? Like a bank. Yeah. So it's kind of, you know, I think in America you're used to driving
a
ways to get somewhere. Really big layout. Again, it was like, yeah, you get barraged by the new comics as you come through. I'll put a photo up, actually, because there was a moment where I didn't think they had any back issues.
Mm.
I was a bit disappointed with, because I took a list. I went prepared. And looking at the shelves, and I thought these were like panelled shelves which had like single-issue comics displayed. And they were like a random mix.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was quite odd. Like, they had some like random old 80s comics, but like not number ones. They were like, you know, number 25 of classic X-Men.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, why have you put that on display? Then I twigged that actually they weren't just shelves. They were pull-out long boxes, and they were just marking you, telling you which letter of the alphabet.
Yeah.
So basically you pull out these massive drawers, and they were probably about 4 aisles worth of this stuff.
Can I just give a quick shout out to Carly, who would have laughed at the mention of massive drawers?
She would have put it down there.
But yeah, it sounds like, you know, Willy Wonka's chocolate factory.
It was.
But through comics.
Yeah, and they were really helpful and friendly staff. They kept coming over and saying, "You okay?" And I said, "I was, but now I'm going to spend more than I intended to." So thanks for that.
That is quite a weird transition that maybe American listeners don't get. I remember going over to Houston, funnily enough, when I was about 20. And asking this girl, you know, can we go to a comic shop? And she's like, well, just take a taxi, which is fine. And I did. And I was like, well, you know, will they call me a taxi back? And she's like, you're going to spend like hundreds of dollars there, aren't you? And I'm like,
yeah.
I ended up doing so. Yeah. And they gladly called me a cab back. This is before the age of Ubers. Not to date ourselves.
I would have been screwed, actually, on that. So I just studied my stash. I've got a stash of what I got. So
right, tell me.
I'll edit this bit out.
Okay, in which case I can say whatever I feel. Have you got Rebirth to hand?
Which one?
DC.
The first issue?
Yeah.
I've got it digitally.
Oh, okay, that's all right.
Do you need to look at it?
No. It was just to remind me of a talking point later.
Okay, so here's a stash.
Bloody hell.
That's what I got.
Talk about back in the room.
Yeah.
Jesus. I wasn't expecting this.
They pretty much plugged most of the holes.
Oh, sorry, Carly. You starting off.
So what are you looking at, Neil? Carly, you got a shell.
Right. Okay. Starting off, we're getting a lot of Iron Fist, which I'm very pleased at. Looks like just issues you missed. There's one of an old one.
It's the final issue, that one.
Is that the final issue?
Final Power Man and Iron Fist from the 80s,
where it appears Power Man and Iron Fist are fighting a robot from Daft Punk. Which was an earlier criticism. Yeah. All the bloody Iron Fist, they're always fighting a robot. You've got an amazing sort of like 70s movie type cover version of Power Man and Iron Fist. Just amazing art.
Yeah, issue 100. So I went for kind of like sort of key issues on that one.
You don't see covers like that anymore. Yeah. And there's an advert for Q-Bert on the back.
That's cutting edge Q-Bert video game from Parker Brothers.
that's dating us a little. I see Outcast. I know you've been enjoying Outcast.
Yeah, there's a few issues I was missing on that.
Oh, hello, Avengers.
So that's an 80s storyline.
Right.
Where the Masters of Evil basically took over Avengers Mansion and beat the living shit out of the Avengers.
Oh, bloody
hell. Do you remember reading as a kid and thought it was amazing? It was like really, really dark.
Right.
Like at the time, Thor's powers were weakened.
Okay.
I think. So basically, he couldn't heal.
Oh.
And so if he got a broken bone, he got a broken bone. So he had to kind of like give himself like supports and stuff. So in this one, he gets absolutely battered.
Hmm.
It's a really, really good storyline, and I kind of regretted getting rid of it when I was a kid, so I was picking up those
issues. Back again. Speaking of Thor, the one underneath this, Avengers, has Thor with a massive beard, which I've never seen before.
I've never
seen bearded Thor.
Yeah. You've seen Frog Thor, right?
We spoke about it in the first show, didn't we? Oh, yeah, they are. And then the one underneath, they're all getting battered.
Oh, yeah, so basically on the cover there, you've got Baron Zemo, who was in the Civil War movie.
Looking very differently indeed.
Yeah, wearing purple.
And now we're on to some Civil War.
Yeah, a few issues I've missed from that. The original Civil War run.
Oh, bloody hell. Oh, and Velvet. You wanted me to read Velvet.
Yeah, so there's an issue I was missing from that, so I got that sorted.
Velvet looks a bit like Caitlin Moran, who is also a spy. How I would sum that up for the casual.
I like that.
Oh, hello, what do we have here?
More Iron Fist related. That's the Immortal Weapons miniseries.
Oh, love the cover art. Yeah. There's an actual little book for Titan covers. Good stuff.
So yeah, Titan Comics in Dallas.
Bloody amazing. They've seen you coming. That's a sizable stash. I'm not going to do the typical comic thing of throwing this on the floor.
Just going to gently...
I'm going to drop it on the table so you can hear how heavy it is.
bang.
Yeah, right. Christ, you could kill a small baboon with that, yeah. One was so inclined.
So yeah, got out of the comic shop with just enough money left. Had to get an Uber away from there. And it was quite a fun journey back because the guy who picked me up was like, "All right, so you're into comics then?" As I was carrying a bag load of comics, kind of gave it away.
Yeah, good pair.
Ended up having a good chat with the guy. He's a lapsed comic fan. He said, "Oh,
there's no shame, listeners. No shame."
But he actually threw me for a loop because he kind of the most obvious question he asked, I couldn't easily answer.
Right.
And he said, "Well, look, I haven't read comics for ages, and I'm, you know, with the whole Marvel stuff. Where should I start?"
Ah.
I literally was like, because Marvel, you know, Marvel superhero stuff. In fact, any superhero stuff, can be bloody confusing.
Mm, mm.
So the tip I gave to him, which will segue into something else we want to talk about, is I said you could go to a comic store like he just picked me up from.
Mm.
So, but I think you'd probably be a bit overwhelmed. I said the best, and also some of the key storylines are probably going to be expensive.
Yeah,
if you're going to start buying single issues.
Yeah,
I said you could start buying graphic novels.
But I said
the best advice I can give is if you've got an iPad, which he said he did, so just download Comixology and then buy some of the key storylines from there, because normally doing sales and deals.
Yeah,
and also you're not going to pay over the odds. Like if an issue one's really hard to find physically, you're still going to pay a couple of quid digitally.
Yeah,
so that's probably the best way.
Mm.
But yeah, we spoke about that, and we ended up. He was asking me my opinion on Batman v Superman.
Okay, good cabbie.
Yeah, and he was quite clued up. He sort of said, "Oh, is it true that Hulk's going to be in the next Thor movie?"
Mm.
I was like, "Why yes?
Why yes? Of course, my sources tell me.
Why yes, cabbie? He is."
And naturally, he'll be listening to this now because you will have plugged the podcast.
I don't think I did. But yeah, it kind of segued. And he was saying about he said, "Oh, do you think they're going to do the World War Hulk storyline?" So he's pretty clued up.
Yeah, he knows his stuff.
Yeah. But then it kind of the talk descended into chat about JFK because I was in Dallas.
Yeah,
and I was going to go and visit the museum.
So. Yeah.
Which was a comic-related note on there as well. They had an issue of Superman, which had apparently had been put together in consultation with President Kennedy.
Right.
And was due to be published, I think, like the month after he was assassinated. It got delayed till the following year.
Oh.
But they actually had an issue of that Superman comic
as
part of the exhibition at the sixth floor. Book Depository Museum, I think it's called.
We should know that.
That place that apparently... Place.
We both stood there, ironically.
Yeah.
About 10 years apart. But we've both seen the same thing. So America's the place to go for comics. Until we open our comic shop.
Until Coffee, Comics and Cake opens up.
We need a better name.
Yeah.
Or do we? I remember when I first moved to London, picking up a leaflet, because when you went to university, they had like all these, obviously... sex advice stuff and all that, and there was a map of London, and one of the places that used to be open in Soho was a place called Coffee, Cake and Kink. So like it was a coffee shop upstairs, but downstairs, and like they had sort of like risque S&M pictures on the wall, but like when you went downstairs it was a functioning S&M dungeon where they gave you like beginners courses and like tying each other up and stuff like that. All of that's gone, if you're listening now, American listeners, and indeed listeners at home.
It's a shame.
Eventually we let Boris Johnson in, and he basically did away with all the fun stuff in Soho, and now it's just all coffee shops. Even good coffee shops, just chains.
Chains.
Not the kink chains.
I was about to say.
I got excited at the talk of this. So it was pretty much rubbish now. But it used to be quite fun. And that was the first time we were at Coffee, Cake and Kink. Maybe we should just do the BAM comic shop. If you've got a name for our comic shop, tweet us in.
Yeah.
We don't promise to take it on board or indeed give you a cut of any proceeds.
I was about to say, we won't acknowledge it if it's a good idea. We'll just steal it.
Yeah. It'd just be serendipity.
And just... roll ourselves in our cake and profits.
Right.
So, S&M.
From S&M.
To Wonder Woman. See what I did there?
Oh, okay. All right. So let's talk DC Rebirth. It took me an entire month to read it, even though you were very, very kind to bring one back from E3.
Cool.
You've brought me DC Rebirth and you brought me Wonder Woman Rebirth.
Yeah.
Oof, where to begin?
We remember that I felt Rebirth was a bit bloated and a bit confusing for people who've maybe lapsed.
I'm not even a lapsed comic fan, and even I was a bit confused. Like, there was certain bits that was cool, certain cameos, but even I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
My main problem with it is it revolves around the Flash, and I'm not a Flash fan, so all of this stuff was just like, all right, cool, fine. I got the spoilers. I got the Watchmen stuff straight away.
Yeah,
and was like, oh, okay, that's kind of looks like the Watchmen, and sure enough, it turned out to be that. But yeah, you're right. It was just really bloody bloated. And I was thinking about this in my shower where I do my best thinking when I'm not in my beginner's S&M dungeon. DC really struggle. Like, I understand why, as a publisher, as a story writer, you want to go back to the beginning, because that's the big cool bit everyone remembers. And it's like when you're playing an MMO for the first time, like the beginning areas are really fun, and then it just becomes brown, grind. Swampy. Yeah, before the grind. And so I understand why comics are rebooted so often, but one thing that Marvel seems to do much better than DC is just, here's a superhero, because. It doesn't have to be like, oh, the alternate timeline has caused the aliens to happen and then a god got involved. Like, modern Marvel just seems to just be like, here's Luke Cage. He punches fuck out of walls because he can. And there doesn't need to be a huge genesis. And I still can't quite understand why they're rebirthing it.
I think the problem is DC seem very insistent on linking everything back to what's gone before. And it's kind of missing the point. It's too mired. It's too complicated. One thing actually I didn't mention last time, that reading some of the Batman stuff is, so basically I haven't read a lot of DC for a while, and it felt to me there were assumptions that you knew stuff. Like, I don't know who Duke Thomas is.
Nope.
Like, I know I'm assuming he's going to be a new Robin type character, but it's very much like, oh, here's Duke.
Yeah.
It's like, but who is he?
Yeah.
So, and I'm not the only one who hasn't read DC for a while, and it's like, well, who is this guy? And I've got no idea what his backstory is at all. And I think I've read about 4 or 5 of the Rebirth Batman stuff, and then no one's explained.
Yeah. And it really bugs me, because we've just, like, just a few episodes of BAM ago, like, we were doing Wonder Woman Earth 1, which is essentially a reboot. And that was really good.
She didn't have to know everything that's gone before.
Yeah, it, like, played into, like, there was little references for if you did know it, but if you didn't, you wouldn't be totally lost.
Yeah.
So when we came to Wonder Woman Rebirth, it was just, and I suspect pretty much every Genesis issue, no matter the character, is going to be similar. And it was just an entire issue of Wonder Woman going, oh, I wonder who I am. Oh, I think that I've been tricked and I don't quite remember. Am I this? Alluding to, like, one Genesis. Am I that? Alluding to another. And I'm like, within a couple of pages, I was like, oh, come on. Just give me a continuity. Like, just, is this really going to be it for the whole issue? Just her wondering.
Wondering woman, wondering
who she is. I like the idea that she ended up tying herself up with the lasso of truth to try and figure it out. That was
pretty cool.
That was quite cool, but by the time that arrived, I was just like, oh, come on.
There's a stylistic thing I really like, though.
Right.
Where the artist changed halfway through.
Yeah.
She has a bit of a revelation.
Yeah.
So it switched from, like, Matt Clark's artwork to new artist Liam Sharp.
Mm.
I thought, that's pretty cool.
That's a good idea. I'll give it that. Cool. I'll totally give it that.
But that's the thing that stuck with me, is the fact that there's a kind of tonal shift and the art reflected it. But then I can't, like you say, the rest of the episode is going, who am I? What am I?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a good idea in principle. I mean, I'm not shitting on it from a great height, but at the same time, I'm just like,
Just a small height.
Just a ledge. Just a step.
Yeah.
Like, I was expecting a lot from Rebirth, and just it didn't really deliver for me yet. That said, I am, like, looking forward to Aquaman, seeing what they're going to do there.
It's out now.
Well, you're back in the UK now, so it's harder to get these issues unless we sign up with Colin Collins.
Well, on that, I actually did buy a couple of Rebirth titles through Comixology. So I bought The Flash, which I thought was quite good.
Yeah.
I quite like The Flash as a character. Flash Rebirth is very much like DC Rebirth episode 2,
right,
where it picks up a lot of the threads, and it's, you know, it's him chatting to Bruce Wayne, they're investigating the the Watchmen badge, which is fucking stupid, right? It's got the blood drip on it.
Yeah.
So it's been wedged in the Batcave wall, and yet that very specific blood spatter that's been in the Watchmen, iconic Watchmen thing, is somehow still on it. It's like, oh, come on. It's being, I don't know, it seems a bit silly.
I'm not going to chase this storyline through multiple issues and multiple publications. I'm just not. Like, I've got the DC heroes that I like. Like I say, I'll give Aquaman a bash. I'll keep going with Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
But even at the end of Wonder Woman, they're like, you can carry on with this arc of Wonder Woman, or you can buy young Wonder Woman and explore her origins. And I'm just like, don't do it.
I mean, I read a few. I've read Action Comics is quite fun, which is basically Lex Luthor's taking on the mantle of a Superman.
This I wanted to talk to you about,
because
that's the advert in the back of DC Rebirth, where they're like, no, there are four Supermen, Lex Luthor being one of them. And I don't know, I'm not normally swayed by adverts, but I'm like, oh, this sounds good.
It's quite cool, because basically the Superman of the new 52 universe is dead.
Yeah.
He's dead.
Yeah.
And they kind of make a point, that's what they kind of open with, and say, look, he's definitely dead.
Because
the other Superman, who's an older Superman, is from the pre-52.
Yeah.
Who's been living for years in this continuity on the quiet with Lois Lane and their son.
Yeah.
So he's come out of hiding now, and he's taken up the mantle reluctantly of being the Superman. Mm. Obviously, a lot of people don't know who he is. They're like, well, who are you? You know, our Superman's dead.
Who are you?
Yeah, you look like him. Yeah. A little bit older.
Got a beard. Like four.
Yeah.
So
that's quite fun. It's quite interesting. But again, it's still early days. It's still complicated because it's kind of...
too complicated.
Because that Superman dates from like 1986.
I think
the original, the last Crisis, well, the Crisis on Infinite Earth series.
Yeah.
Which kind of started all this kind of convoluted, complicated, let's keep continuity simple, and then... let's layer it and make it even worse.
Mm.
For me, the standout so far is Detective Comics.
Yeah, you were talking to me about this.
That cover. That's what the art looks like inside.
It's a bloody work of art. It's
really good. Yeah. So the artist, let me remember his name.
Sorry, artist, we're about to reveal your name. Yeah. We promise.
If I can find it.
If we can find it. If not, Stu's fucked.
Fuck's sake. Fucked it.
But wow, what art. Like, this would draw me in.
Yeah.
As a casual fan, I'd be like, oh, bloody hell, that's pretty special. I'll pick up an issue of this. Defo.
Right, so the artist, Eddie Barrows, has got a very Brian Hitch style.
We've encountered Eddie before, but I can't remember where.
I don't know.
But apologies, Eddie, if you're listening, which I'm sure you are.
But, yeah, I mean, that was a big plus for me, but it was really good artwork.
Yeah.
So the main plot of this is... Again, I think it links back to the whole rebirth. There's something going on behind the scenes. Someone's manipulating us.
Yeah.
Where Batman decides that he needs to put together a team to fight whatever this conspiracy is going to be.
Yeah.
So he recruits Batwoman to be his, like, general.
Good choice.
Yeah.
Military training. Takes no shit.
Yeah. So I'd forgotten. So the both Bruce Wayne and Kathy Kane are related.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember why.
Mm.
And what it is, basically, it's... Bruce Wayne's mum was a Kane before she became a Wayne. And so they're cousins.
Okay.
So, yeah. In this new continuity, I think there's been different takes on it in the past. So in the lineup, you've got Red Robin, who was the last Robin, Tim Drake.
Yeah.
And you've got Spoiler.
Yeah.
And I've got her name. But she used to be Batgirl.
She used to be Batgirl, but not Barbara Gordon.
Yeah, not Barbara Gordon.
T'other one.
And you've got... Weirdly, you've got Clayface.
Which is, that's a bit of a, what?
Yeah, but it works. It's kind of cool. And I say the artwork's great, and it's kind of like putting together like the A-team or...
The Bat-team. The
B-team,
if you will.
Yeah, so far I've read the first two issues. It's a good setup.
Mm.
They're kind of taking on this group of military guys who look a fuckload like the Arkham Knight from the video game.
Right.
I don't know if that's...
Surely not.
...foreshadowing. I mean, look at those guys. They look very... Arkham Knight-esque.
They certainly do.
And there's a scene at the end of the second issue where Batman's being pursued by Batmobiles, basically, and gets taken out, and these guys jump out.
Right.
So, yeah.
Could be intriguing.
Yeah, so storyline's called Rise of the Batman.
Mm.
Could be a clue. It's good. Really enjoyed that. What else have I read? Yeah, so Action Comics was good. I read Titans Rebirth.
Not for you.
Not for me, no. I mean, the whole issue was him, Wally West, trying to reconnect with his teammates who'd forgotten about him. And it was basically every time he touched them, not inappropriately, they remembered him.
Yeah.
And so each time he bumped into or touched another member of the Titans, they had a little flashback to when they met, and it kind of ends with them going, oh, how do we forget? Let's find out who's behind this. So it's kind of a real repetition of, we know it's a conspiracy. So I'm kind of wondering how they're going to eke this out. I've got a feeling it's going to be like a couple of years.
I hope not. I really hope not, DC. That's it. I mean, there is some light. I mean, I really want to try this Lex Luthor one, which is not something I would have read before.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm into that. And then I also saw on the back of Rebirth, they were advertising the other Superman stories. So Supergirl, not for me. That's fine. Yep. Superwoman, which is Lois Lane, which I'm assuming is maybe... I don't know whether it's 80s Lois Lane from that continuity.
I don't know. I mean, the continuity Lois Lane at the moment isn't superpowered, but I think Superman's not out till the summer, so then maybe something happens that turns into a superhuman, which I think, I don't know, it just sounds a bit shit.
And then for the Superman one, they had Chinese Superman.
Yeah, he's already been introduced in the pre-rebirth storyline.
Yeah.
I'll
give that a punt.
Yeah,
give that a punt. I mean, my favourite ever Superman story is ironically Red Sun. So I'll take different slants on Superman any day of the week. Definitely Lex Luthor. That's going to be delicious.
And he's the Lex Luthor that should have been in the movie. Yeah. Kind of not a complete knob jock. Really. But no, it's good. So that's where we're at with Rebirth. I'm going to carry on reading Detective for sure.
Yeah.
And probably The Flash.
How are you getting on with Comixology then?
Too well. I'm kind of remembering why I kind of stopped. Apart from the fact I do like the idea of having like physical comics still.
Yeah.
The thing with Comixology, it's so easy just to kind of press a button and download. And particularly with like the new iPad, it's a real crisp, clear.
Yeah.
Panel. And their guided view where you can like double tap and it kind of takes you from panel to panel, but it kind of like slides you across.
Oh, okay.
It's a really cool technique. It also stops you from getting those moments where you probably had it where you buy a physical comic. If it ends on a cliffhanger, sometimes due to the way adverts are inserted, you can turn over a double page spread.
And
you'd already see the final panel and you're like, ah, fuck.
Yeah.
But with this, you kind of get that surprise. So if a comic's got that kind of pacing where you're going to get a revelation at the end, if you do the guided view, the odds are, you know, you're not going to get it spoiled for you. So you see it.
I don't have an iPad. I do have an iPhone, and I just don't think it's going to be...
It's not the same. I have done an iPhone. It's not quite the same. But then if you do guided view, you know, you're going to get panel by panel, so you could do it. It depends on your eyesight is, really.
So far, all right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I stocked up before my US trip, so I ended up getting the Rebirth stuff.
Yeah.
What else have I got on it? So I got the Fade Out, first graphic novel of the Fade Out.
Oh, yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Saga Volume 5, so I could catch up with that. Harrow County Volume 1, which I haven't read yet. Did I say the Fade Out?
You did.
I did say the Fade Out. The Fade Out's very good. Worth mentioning twice. But yeah. I'll cover that a bit more. I'm actually reading the second book now. I'll kind of talk about that in more detail on another show.
I'm due to talk to you about Low as well, isn't it? This will all be episode 14.
So yeah, it's very useful.
Right.
Little app. Also picked up the second issue of Captain America, the new Steve Rogers Captain America. Can I just say, fucking totally called it.
Yeah.
They've actually revealed, by the second issue, they basically said it's a Red Skull plot using the Cosmic Cube that's kind of redone reality.
Do you think they revealed it just because of the kicking that they got? Do you think they went sooner than
they would have, no, because the lead time on this, I mean, you know, artwork, let alone scripting. So yeah, it's comics. It's obviously not going to be,
and no one's talking about it now. Like it's all flash in the pan.
So either I'm really really clever, or I've read way too many fucking comic books. I think it's probably the latter.
So I was going to give you the benefit of a middle ground.
Okay, I'll take that. I'll take that. So again, it was good to read. It's the second issue is basically from the point of view of the Red Skull.
Yeah.
Which is pretty much, it was like, here's what I've done, and here's why I've done it, and here's where it all started. So it kind of goes back over the last, like, 6 months' worth of storylines, and he's been behind it all the time. And it's kind of cool. It's a nice little touch.
It's always nice to see things from the villain's eyes.
Yeah. But yeah, totally fucking called it.
And do you reckon you'll just pay it off after, as soon as the storyline's resolved?
It's a weird move, because like normally you kind of expect to drag it out, but it's literally like they've done the cliffhanger last episode with Steve Rogers saying Hail Hydra, and this one just is just totally from the perspective of the Red Skull. There's no Captain America other than in like flashbacks, so that hasn't actually picked up from that moment. Like, it's a bit weird. It's kind of like going, here's the reveal and here's why in the second issue, which is an odd way of pacing it.
They're like, he's done that classic supervillain thing of like, clearly he could have just killed Captain America. I could have cosmic cubed him off a bridge.
No.
But no, I'll control him.
No, I want to basically just destroy him and show him what he could be. Yeah, it's fun. It's comics, isn't it?
Fair enough, Red Skull. Yeah. It's your comic, mate. It's your comic. Yeah. It's your comic.
So there's the Millennium Falcon shaped elephant in the room.
Oh right. So as you know, Stu and I have dipped in and out of the great run of Star Wars comics. I think we've tried pretty much them all.
Yeah.
We've done Princess Leia, done the Star Wars series itself.
Yeah. Which I'm still sticking with.
You're still sticking with, yeah, we had a little squooch of Poe Dameron. You started that one yet?
I didn't get beyond the first issue on that one.
All right.
I only got past the first few issues of Chewbacca as well.
Yeah, I totally thought Chewbacca was done, and then I saw like they've just continued it. I thought it came to a definite end, but nope, Chewie's still going.
Was it? I thought it was a miniseries.
I thought it was a miniseries too, but it's still going.
C-3PO I thought was good, standalone one.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah, how he got his red arm. Oh my.
Yeah.
Oh, surprise. You never saw that coming, did you? Ah, we did.
Yeah,
we did. It's been good. So we've done Lando, I really enjoyed.
Yeah, you more so than me, I think. I thought it was fun, but yeah.
Just Casino Royale in space,
yeah,
which is exactly what I wanted.
Fair.
And then I think by far the favourite of us has been Darth Vader.
But yeah, Darth Vader's probably
gone the longest for both of us. I've started to eke out of it now. It's kind of losing me. It's had a few jump the space shark moments already for me, so
okay, it's finishing soon, isn't it?
Yeah. But it's done well. However, the latest Star Wars comic is here in the form of Han Solo, which I'm sure, oh god, which I'm sure a lot of people were waiting for, and it's here. Everyone's favorite rogue smuggler gets his own comic run. It's.
Can we just do this by grunts and groans?
I hate being disparaging of anyone's work on this podcast. I really do.
It's not bad.
It's not.
It just hasn't left an impression. I can't remember. But isn't it just a case of they sign up for a race?
Pretty much. It's sort of set in the same time period of just after everyone else. So you've got interactions with him and Princess Leia and everything. She's raging at him. So he's right, I have a way to do a race. There's a token hut and there's robots. And it's all the Star Wars stuff that you love. I think it suffers from that same problem that we were talking about earlier with Wonder Woman Rebirth. Like, you've got a whole issue and I don't feel we've gone anywhere.
No, it's very, very wordy as well, I thought.
Very, very wordy.
But nothing actually happens.
Yeah, for basically, well, I was going to say Indiana Jones in space, and I can't think of anything more apt than that.
Who's that?
He's someone who should shoot first and talk later.
George Lucas.
Yeah, and just be that rogue, and just I just didn't get that from him.
No.
And it's like, oh, I've involved myself in a life versus death race, and I don't know what I wanted, but this isn't it.
Wasn't that? Yeah, no, it's just a bit. Meh. I'm very disappointed. I think it's a mini series, but I'm not exactly going to rush to pick up the second issue.
No. I am curious to see the second issue, just to see if it can pull it back. But it's a very poor start, in my opinion. I don't know what I wanted. I don't know what I wanted, and just this isn't it.
I think the main Star Wars series has got him in that, and it's got him being like the Han Solo we remember from the first movie, because the whole stuff is set straight after A New Hope, and all the spin-offs are set in that era as well. They're not kind of going off and saying, well, here's Han Solo. I was about to say After Empire Strikes Back, but that'd be a very short comic. Yeah.
Gathering dust.
Yeah. So they're kind of sticking within a very specific time window.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Which I'm sure limits them in some respects.
Well, yeah. And I don't know what what the long-term plan is, whether they're going to do this for another year or two and then go, right, let's do something post-Empire. Yeah. But then, obviously, if they did that, you wouldn't have Han Solo in it.
No.
Then you could have more Lando.
Yeah, which I've been down for. But just, this just, I will try issue two, but this just, I can't recommend it. There's nothing.
But what's next? I mean, surely the next series they're going to do is Luke Skywalker, right? Because that's the only character who hasn't had.
Had his own run.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess, I suppose it depends. Are they going to wait for the new movie and reveal what he's up to in that movie? But probably not.
No, they've just done a Force Awakens adaptation, finally.
Yeah.
So whether they're going to do more from that era with those characters. Mm. It does seem to me they're only going to concentrate on like the classic era New Hope characters.
Yeah.
We've had Poe Dameron, which is the only kind of exception to that.
Yeah.
And that was set pre-Force Awakens as well.
Yeah.
So
he was a busy boy.
Yeah. I guess because they want this stuff to be in continuity.
Mm.
I've got a feeling they don't really want to touch, you know, Rey or Finn, because instantly whatever they do is going to be contradicted when the next movie comes out.
Yeah.
So you're kind of a bit stuffed, really.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like, growing up, like, you read 100 stories of Han Solo doing stuff in the extended universe. Like, and he was always a bastard in that. I think that's maybe what I'm not getting above all things, is I just want him to be a bit more of a dick.
Yeah, and he's just not a lot. It's a lot of talk.
Yeah.
It's a lot of retreading tropes, you know, him and Leia having a bit of an argument, her slapping him,
yeah,
and him going, oh, well, I'm going to go off and do some roguish stuff under the employ of the Rebel Alliance. But yeah, get the second issue, let me know how it goes, and I might read it. But
you're not even going to get yourself, you're that put off.
Yeah, yeah.
So Han Solo is in trouble here, everyone. If you've read it, please do tweet us in and let us know exactly what you thought.
What you think.
Yeah. But there we go, Han Solo for now. Ooh, have a flick through, tell us what you think.
So Ask Bam Anything, we had one question.
Right.
From Mark Robbins.
Right.
So why are there no comics better than Viz? Which is a rubbish question.
You're not
going to ask that. Not going to answer that one. Savage Henry, what's the most stupid question you've ever been asked? Is it this one? So yeah, we had Damien B on Twitter ask us.
Right.
Do you think DC and its parent company are aware of how much Snyder is damaging their product?
Interesting.
So this is obviously about DC films. Yeah. Stuff. But I don't know. I mean, they did have a bit of a regime change after Batman v Superman didn't perform as well as can be expected. So they're obviously aware. But as far as damaging their product, I don't know.
Yeah.
So I read a review today of the Ultimate Edition of Batman v Superman.
Mm.
And a lot of people who are commenting on it are saying this is kind of makes more sense.
Yeah.
Because it's like half an hour kind of restored. So a lot of scenes that didn't make any sense were literally just lopped. So you can kind of see a better vision of what Snyder was trying to achieve.
Yeah.
But it's a 3-hour movie, which, all right. Would you just see it? We should definitely watch it and see.
We will. I get confused with Scott and Zack Snyder.
So Scott Snyder is the writer.
Is the writer. Zack Snyder is the director.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're talking about the Zack. So presumably...
Damien B. He's referring... Yeah, he would be. Yeah.
Not a fan of Batman versus Supes, traditionally speaking.
Well, I can relate to that.
It didn't slay Marvel at the box office. It didn't do that.
Right.
And there was definitely issues with the characters and the presentation. But I think you're right. I kind of want to see this longer version. And would that be a better film? But then at the same time, it's his job to make it a better film.
But we don't know whether he was cut out of the loop when it came to the editing process at that point. Because when they started releasing scenes and when he was in interviews talking about scenes that were cut, it was like, why did you cut that? Maybe he didn't have a say in it. Maybe he was kind of like, well, look. In the days, it's multi-million pound project.
Mm.
And there is going to be someone else who's going to call the shots. Not that I'm making excuses for the guy. I mean, you know, it's not my job to do that. But I just think the movie was bloated.
I think the only thing we agreed we liked was the aesthetics of it.
Yeah.
So there's not enough to make me come back for a second one.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious. I wasn't remotely interested in seeing it again, but reading a couple of reviews and people have said, oh, no, it makes more sense. And, you know, people saying, I didn't like it, but now I do.
Yeah.
And I'm like, really? You know, because yeah. I didn't like it. And I'm like, I'm wondering whether half an hour of extra material is really going to make me change my opinion.
Yeah, I'll be honest, Damien. I want to see the longer version before I can answer that.
Yeah.
I just have a sneaking suspicion that it might just be a little bit better. And if not, I've wasted 3.5 hours of my life.
But as far as them being aware of the Marina product, again, going back to them.
They definitely are.
Yeah, but they're still going ahead with Justice League. That starts filming soon, if it hasn't already.
But they've given the rights to Batman to Ben Affleck. Like, he's going to direct that one, so the rumour mill says.
Yeah, yeah. I think Zack Snyder's going to have his hands full with Justice League Part 1.
I really want to see how Suicide Squad fits into it.
Yeah.
I think that'll be the tell-all for me.
Right. I think that'll be the tell-all for how this franchise is going to go.
Yeah.
I think it's going to do well. I mean, when I was in the States, they had already started doing TV shots for it, which that might be standard America, but over in the UK, you don't tend to get TV trailers until like a couple of weeks before, not like a couple of months before it opens. Now, if that does well, which I think it will, we'll probably get more confirmed details of future DC movie stuff.
Mm.
Like, we know they've got plans to do characters, but they haven't really spoken much about that other than Justice League.
Yeah.
If it doesn't do well, I've got a feeling we'll get Justice League, but there may be a bit of a shuffle.
Yeah,
as far as the roster goes, and I think we'll get them confirming a new Batman movie, but it wouldn't surprise me if the likes of, say, Cyborg and, brace yourself, Aquaman might get shunted off. Just kind of like shuffle them off and see how well Justice League does.
I think Suicide Squad is going to be the real taster, more so than Batman Superman was. You're right, and then it will literally all live and die on Justice League.
Yeah.
So far, I'm not. I'm excited.
No, they've said that Darkseid isn't the main villain. It's going to be one of his generals from the comic, Steppenwolf, who actually appears in the cutscene, we think, which I've seen online.
Okay.
But yeah, either way, Darkseid's going to be in it. It'll, you know, they might just do a whole Thanos angle where he just crops up at the end or something.
Yeah.
Laughing maniacally.
Yeah, I worry that Marvel's just got it down. They know how to just instantly introduce superheroes who don't need a prolonged explanation of their motives and whatnot.
Just keep it simple.
Yeah, and Batman and Superman, just the plot-wise just has so many problems, it's hard to recommend it to someone.
Yeah, and again, apparently this Ultimate Edition addresses some of those. It addresses like Lex Luthor's, how he was manipulating things. It even addresses one of my frustrations at frustrating scenes, which was the courtroom scene. Apparently addresses why Superman didn't see or hear the bomb ticking, which is pretty fucking important, but why the hell, I don't know.
We'll soon find out. So sorry, Dean, no cast iron answer there.
We'll get on the phone with Warner's
and find out. In that respect, I'm sure they are aware that Batman Superman wasn't necessarily the well received as it should have been or could have been, and I'm sure they've taken a bit of a licking financially for it. But what the future holds for young Zach, we're just gonna have to wait and see.
And on that note,
that brings us to the end of this Lance Knight In version of the BAM comic podcast. Hopefully next time young Carly can be back with
She'll
us.
She'll be back. We won't be so long next time. It won't be a month. You have to wait for
honest. Yeah. Honest, it won't be. But thank you very much for listening. If you want to find me on Twitter, I am Neil Gort. Stu, who are you on Twitter?
I am Stunami on Twitter.
So follow us both and definitely follow BAM Comics Cast and ask all your related questions.
Yes, please send us more questions for Ask BAM Anything on Twitter, and you can also follow us on Facebook as well.
Yeah, do that. It's a nice little Facebook page. Go there, have a chin wag.
Exactly.
Alright.
Thanks a lot.
Alright, I'm going to get some cake now.
Hooray.
Hey, see you later, everyone.
Bye.